You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altron, there when it matters.
The Classic Business Show is brought to you by Altron, technology partners in your digital transformation journey. For more information, visit altron.com. Altron, there when it matters. And joining me is the one and only brand father, Jeremy Sampson. Jeremy, good evening.
Quirby, good to be with you.
Thank you for coming through again. You know, I always love chatting to you. You know, Jeremy, I mean, eventful 2 weeks, 3 weeks in South Africa on the political front. I mean, there's so much to talk about. Let's start with Tongaat Hulett, another financial disaster despite all the so-called checks and balances. Clearly, you weren't the auditor.
I find it unbelievable. You know, we've been chuntering on about King 1, 2, 3, and now 4. We've got all these auditors taking huge fees. We have boards of directors of huge luminaries. And we have internal auditors. Yet despite that, now I was telling Michael that last week on Thursday, I was listening to the Auditor General giving a presentation. And he was listing the litany in South Africa just in the last 20 years. And then when I hear that only one auditor has been ejected from the profession, I think, what is going on?
What is going on? I mean, are things that dodgy in South Africa?
I'm not sure it's just South Africa, to be honest. No, there were reports this week that the Indian government in India is thinking of banning two of the big four from doing any work for them. I know in the last year, PwC was banned from doing any work for a year as well. So it doesn't seem to be just South Africa. But on the other hand, at the moment, where we know we need integrity, we need trust, and for a long time, until perhaps 10, 12 years ago, South Africa was held up as a place that you could do serious business. And it was a much better level playing field, if I can put it that way, than a place like Nigeria or other places. Now we're slipping into the African syndrome.
And I mean, that's a pity, because I think, you know, if you had to rank South Africa, I think these is international rankings, and it ranks South Africa on bankability, you know, ability for financial services and auditing. And auditing was always way up on the scale.
Absolutely.
You could bet your bottom dollar or pound that the governance was going to happen in South Africa by and large. And that now seems to almost be a little bit of a blemish against that.
It seems to be under threat. Especially, you know, let's face it, in the Gupta period, which is what, only 18 months ago, KPMG was the one that seemed to be picking up most of the flack. At the moment, the one that seems to be picking up most of the flack is Deloitte. And this is where I think, as you rightly say, South Africa has been highly regarded. We need to claw that back because the banking system, the legal profession, all these things are crucial to doing business in a country and for inward investment. And if it gets too dodgy, people won't invest.
It again comes back to me to just a central premise of doing business. You're doing business with the individual. You're not doing business with the business. And if you can't trust the individuals at play, then it becomes very, very difficult trusting the company, so to speak.
But the key word you're using there, Quirby, is trust. Now, this is what I always talk about, and I'm sure you've heard me say it before. A brand is a trust mark. We buy brands because we trust them. That's the only reason they might make us look good, we might enjoy them, but at the end of the day, we'll keep on going back buying the same brand. We want people to keep on having their holidays in South Africa. We want the big players from around the world to keep on investing in South Africa because they trust the system. And that's where the BMWs, the Mercedes, people like that are so crucial, and the Fords, to the economy of South Africa. You look at the mining industry, basically it's all scarpered from South Africa.
Yeah. I mean, we had a tourism panel on the show a couple of nights ago. We spoke about, you know, some of the challenges in tourism and some of the changes in legislation and so forth. But one of the things that seriously hurt tourism in South Africa is the crime rate in South Africa. And if one doesn't get that under control in some way or fashion, and you have tourists being robbed of their valuables and being held up and so forth, you don't stand a chance of growing that industry, because they will go home and they will tell their friends and family that they had a great trip, but alas, you know, they got held up. And how does one, I mean, very, very difficult to build a brand in that kind of world.
Very, very difficult. And that's where I've got to say that the Cape Town brand has the best brand perhaps in South Africa, whether it's true or not, for being a safe place to be. You know, despite that, one hears stories, but on the other hand, that's the place to go to, and that's why it's so popular. Johannesburg has got a bad reputation. Now, you and I know that most business is done in the Sandton area, which is totally different from Johannesburg CBD. But on the other hand, you look that only 2 or 3 kilometers from Sandton Center is Alexandria. So this is a complicated emerging country, but one's got to try and keep balanced. Also, of course, the overseas press guys, if they have someone based here or located here, those people have to keep filing stories. Mm. And it's very easy to file stories about a crime or if someone's been hijacked or whatever.
I mean, I saw this this tweet this week, which is quite interesting. It was for one of the big FMCG good retailers who paid their CEO a fairly large bonus because they had achieved their targets, their specific targets. And the tweet said, in one of the toughest economies in the world, with one of the highest crime rates for a country actually at peace, not at war, this FMCG good company actually raised headline earnings rather than showed a drop in headline earnings. But I said the best thing the media could come up with is the fact that he earned a bonus.
Well, I find it interesting at the moment, just the last couple of days, that people are pointing fingers at the bonus that Richard Brasher of Pick and Pay has been awarded. Mm. Now, yeah. No, let's face it, no, Pick and Pay, go back when he arrived, which is what, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, was languishing as number 3 or so. Yeah. Here is a man who'd been at Tesco in the UK most of his life, and he's come here and he said slowly but surely we'll turn the ship around, and that's precisely what he's done. And how much is that worth? Well, I think it's worth an awful lot. But this is where I find it interesting, when we get overseas guys coming in, like at Pick and Pay, like David Neal, who's just retired from Clicks. These guys come in and they run companies locally and they do very well. And that's where I think we've talked a little bit before, perhaps bringing people like that in to take over some of the SOEs.
Yeah. And I mean, talking about a brand that I'm not quite sure if they've put it back together again, but they've certainly brought it a little bit back onto an even keel, and let's see if it'll work, is the ANC. I mean, the ANC for me has almost become, whereas 2-3 years ago people looked at it, it was almost completely tainted. Today, I think the opposition is scratching their heads as to figure out exactly where they need to go.
Well, I think, as we all know, the ANC is broken and corrupt, but they're still ruling. And when did you last hear a serious statement from any member of the opposition, whichever party it was? I think it's absolutely pathetic. And this is where, to get a proper democracy, we need parties and we need individuals who are going to be there all the time. Now, whether you like him or not, Donald Trump is a masterclass in leadership. Every day or so, he's saying things, he's in the news. Whereas here we have leaders who seem to think they can turn it on and off like a tap. Mm. Like some of those leaders of political parties we haven't heard from for a week or so. Or else the main thing is they decide to take the other opposition to court. And that's about it.
Mm. Well, Jeremy, stay with us, because we've got to quickly go to the traffic with Katleo. But when we come back, you've mentioned Trump, and I think we should chat a little bit about Trump.
You're listening to Classic Business with Michael Avery, brought to you by Altra, there when it matters.
I'm not quite Michael Avery, it's myself, Kirby Lakhranji, co-founder from Rexalom Invest. We carry on with Jeremy Sampson this evening. When we left off just now, we were speaking about the ANC. We were talking about how the leadership here in South Africa wants to turn on and off the news flow. Whereas Trump, at the end of the day, you hate him or love him, in many ways occupies the mind.
Well, in communications, you talk about controlling, managing, whatever, the narrative. And that's where Trump is a master at this. Now, even when he flew into the UK last week, just before he landed, he started tweeting. You know, 10 minutes before landing, he started tweeting, attacking the mayor of London. And he knew that would be a red rag to a series of bulls. And so it was. And that ran for about 3 days. Now, when did we have someone take control of the narrative here? The only narrative that we see, for the most part, is corruption, and most of that seems to filter back to the ANC. And as we're seeing with the public protector, that person, the public protector, seems to be now pointing a finger right at number one, the new number one.
Mm. You know, the And it's almost like the factionalism inside the ANC is stands a chance of actually tearing the whole party apart. And some of the decisions that could be made by certain parts of the factions isn't really even good for South Africa. It's not even good in long term. It's probably not even good for them. But alas, in many cases, they don't see it like that.
No, and as you've said earlier, it's shooting oneself in the foot. We've talked often about being positive, pulling together for all South Africans, whereas there seem to be a lot of people have a blinkered view of the world. As you say, they're looking after perhaps themselves or their faction above all else. And this is where we say, you know, is the president the leader of the ANC? Yes, but he's the leader of South Africa. Now, whose agenda is more important? And all of us would say, come on, let's get South Africa working.
The SARS used to be one of the respected brands in South Africa. You know, let's hope it's getting put back together again like it's supposed to be. It'll obviously take years. But the South African Reserve Bank continues to be kind of stand up as the bastion of decision making, you know, ensuring that what the mandate is, that they continue to achieve that and continue to adhere to the constitutional role that they're supposed to play. Do you think that's a respected brand still?
I think it's totally respected around the world. And this is where we have local brands and we have global brands emanating from South Africa. And Saab, to me, is one of them. South African Reserve Bank is revered around the world. We've had a series of very good governors. We've still got an extremely good governor. And remember that Tito Mboweni, you know, had a period as well where he was the governor there. And coming back to what we were saying earlier about auditors, legal profession, part of the fabric of South Africa to have a strong Reserve Bank is absolutely critical for the ongoing success of the country. And there aren't many bastions left. We've talked about the Justice Department, we've talked about the legal, and we've talked about the banks. But Saab is right up there.
Well, this is you've been listening to Jeremy Sampson. He's the one and only brand father, which shouldn't be confused with a godfather at the end of the day. It looks nothing like the godfather, let me tell you.
Thanks for that, Kirby.
Classic 102.7.